William Collins and Argo present Around the World in 80 Days, written by Jules Verne, read by Tim Pigott-Smith.
Mr. Phileas Fogg lived in 1872 at No. 7 Savile Row, Burlington Gardens, the house in which Sheridan died in 1814. He was one of the most noticeable members of the Reform Club, though he seemed always to avoid attracting attention. An enigmatical personage, about whom little was known, except that he was a polished man of the world. People said that he resembled Byron, but he was a bearded, tranquil Byron, who might live on 1,000 years without growing old. Certainly an Englishman, it was more doubtful whether Phileas Fogg was a Londoner. He was never seen to take part in any of the pursuits which engaged the attention of men of affairs in that city. Phileas Fogg was a member of the Reform, and that was all. He had been recommended to this exclusive club by the Barings, with whom he had an open credit. His cheques were regularly paid at sight from his current account, which was always flush. Was Phileas Fogg rich? Undoubtedly. But those who knew him best could not imagine how he had made his fortune, and Mr. Fogg was the last person to whom to apply for the information. He was the least communicative of men. Had he travelled? It was likely, for no one seemed to know the world more familiarly. There was no spot so secluded that he did not appear to have an intimate acquaintance with it. It seemed that he must have travelled everywhere, at least in the spirit. But Phileas Fogg had not absented himself from London for many years. His sole pastimes were reading the papers and playing whist. He often won at this game, which, as a silent one, harmonised with his nature. His winnings were always reserved as a fund for his charities. Phileas Fogg was not known to have either wife or children, which may happen to the most honest people, neither relatives or near friends, which is certainly more unusual. He lived alone in his house in Savile Row, whither none penetrated. A single domestic sufficed to serve him. He breakfasted and dined at the club, at hours mathematically fixed, in the same room, at the same table, never taking his meals with other members, much less bringing a guest with him, and went home at exactly midnight, only to retire at once to bed. He passed 10 hours out of the 24 in Savile Row, either in sleeping or making his toilet. When he breakfasted or dined, all the resources of the club aided to crowd his table with their most succulent stores. He was served by the gravest waiters, who proffered the viands in special porcelain and on the finest linen. If to live in this style is to be eccentric, it must be confessed that there is something good in eccentricity. The mansion in Savile Row, though not sumptuous, was exceedingly comfortable. The habits of its occupant were such as to demand but little from the sole domestic, but Phileas Fogg required him to be almost superhumanly prompt and regular. On this very 2nd of October, he had dismissed James Forster, because that luckless youth had brought him shaving water at 84 degrees Fahrenheit instead of 86, and he was awaiting his successor, who was due at the house between 11 and 11:30. Phileas Fogg was seated squarely in his armchair, steadily watching a complicated clock which indicated the hours, the minutes, the seconds, the days, the months, and the years. At exactly 11:30, Mr. Fogg would, according to his daily habit, quit Savile Row and repair to the Reform. A rap at this moment sounded on the door, and a young man of 30 appeared, advanced, and bowed. "You are a Frenchman, I believe," asked Phileas Fogg, "and your name is John?"
"Jean, if monsieur pleases," replied the newcomer. "Jean Passepartout, a surname which has clung to me because I have a natural aptness for going out of one business into another. I've had several trades. I've been an itinerant singer, a circus rider, a professor of gymnastique, and a sergeant fireman at Paris. But I quitted France 5 years ago and took service as a valet here in England. Hearing that Monsieur Phileas Fogg was the most exact and settled gentleman in the United Kingdom, I have come to Monsieur in the hope of living with him a tranquil life and forgetting even the name of Passepartout."
"Passepartout suits me," responded Mr. Fogg. "I hear a good report of you. You know my conditions."
"Oh, yes, Monsieur."
"Good.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?